1-800-449-8686, the Phil Henry Show. If you missed our Rose Parade coverage on January 1st, you can still order it and hear all of the pomp and circumstance that was the Phil Henry Show's live and uncensored Rose Parade webcast, hosted by Margaret Gray and Harvey Wireman, with unique commentary from intern Bud Dickman. This was a truly unique experience. Go to www.philhenryshow.com and order our Tournament of Roses Parade webcast for only $4.95. That's www.philhenryshow.com. And we have broken all of our, you know, expectations in terms of, I guess I was going to say we broke records. There were no records to break because this webcast is a, this pay-per-listen webcast was a first-time-only deal. Nobody else has done this. But the expectations we had as to the number of subscribers or sign-ups or visitors or hits or whatever you want to call it were surpassed. So we're very happy about that. And, well, I better not say anything about Napster. Okay, so, no, you know what? I think I will. I just want to say this. You take the whole thing and you download it and you put it on Napster, great. If you want to be the guy that sits there and downloads this whole thing off of Napster, which should take you probably hour after hour after day, after month, if you're that cheap that you will go to Napster and download our Rose Parade coverage and not just pay the $5 and get it right away, be my guest. You can sit there with your thumb parked in one ear and the other thumb up your rear end, and you can sit there and download this thing. It'll take you months. Months. It's a two-hour-long broadcast. You cannot go to Napster and just listen to it. You must download it, which means somebody, you know, somebody, whatever you, what do you do, Mike? You go over to Napster and you upload it or download it or you unload or you do something. The whole thing sounds very pornographic. I went over, I unloaded. You go over there and you give it over to Napster, and there's a bunch of our stuff on Napster, and that's fine. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. I don't care. The Rose Parade thing, on the other hand, now, isn't Napster run by another company called BMG, and isn't there, in point of fact, money now that is due many of the artists whose work appears on Napster, and therefore wouldn't I be due a few billion if they get enough hits on my Rose Parade coverage? Isn't that basically the thinking? So BMG or Napster or whoever that kid is that started it with a baseball cap turned around backwards and now he's a multi-billionaire, you owe me big. If anybody takes the time to download or upload or unload, which I doubt that they will. Anyway, go and get it. We've also made $82,821.50 on the sale of our CD for My Friend's Place. And if you'd like to buy the Best of the Phil Henry Show, the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD, you can call the following number. It's 877-616-7445. It's $20 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. And you can get it by way of Visa, MasterCard, or a check. My stuff is on Napster, and when I say my stuff, some of the bits from our show, not only things from our CD, but just stuff from the show, I understand that there's quite a bit of it sitting over there. And I guess that's something, I guess I ought to be honored. I guess I should be, is there anybody else in talk radio that has this stuff, except for maybe one or two other guys that has this stuff on Napster? Well, now that it's over there, now I feel like that cat from Metallica. Now I feel ripped off. Now I feel raped. Now I want to do something about it. Now I want to sue. I think this is going to be my first lawsuit. I have been sued twice. I'm not going to get into any particulars, but I will tell you that I've won both of them. And so I'm feeling kind of bold now. I've won both of the lawsuits that were filed against me. I have come out victorious. And now I'm feeling emboldened. Now I want to turn the guns around and go on the offensive. Now, I want to sue somebody. My opinion of myself is that much grander today, so I think I'm going to take somebody on. And let me tell you something, when the day comes that I decide to sue somebody, I'm going to win it, because it's not a trivial thing with me. I don't get my feelings hurt that easy. So if somebody's robbing money from me, that's a lawsuit. I ain't going to sue Napster. It's already been done, okay? But you, Schaefer, if I see you walk out of here one more time with a paperclip. So anyway, I got my business cards, and I'd like to thank the great people here at Premier. I never really wanted to have business cards. And I know it's not that big of a deal to say that I got business cards, but I've been asked just enough times in my life, have you got a card? And I don't. That I finally said, I think I ought to have some business cards. So I've got cards, and it has my name. And Taylor says to me, well, what does it say under your name? I said, it says Phil Henry. Well, why don't you put talk show host? Oh, I got it. Okay, so I'm going to walk. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry, talk show host. What am I? I'm in a Starbucks. Have you got a card? We can do business. Yeah, here it is. Phil Hendry, talk show host. Oh, really? Yeah, it's a thing that I do. Okay. Well, anyway, let's get together on that, man. I think we can, if we can put a tree up and block that light. You can come over and mow my lawn. Yeah, here's my card. Great. Now, when are you available? Saturday mornings, I got my own mower. Okay, great. Phil Hendry, talk show host, huh? Yeah, I got a little show. I got these cards, and I have had them in the box now for the last 3 weeks because as much as I really wanted to have a business card with my name on it, I have no earthly idea what I'm going to do with any of them. Now, Craig's got his, and underneath his name it says, Technical Producer, The Phil Hendry Show, and then in parentheses, Ha Ha. Okay, that's not a bad idea. So if you got Technical Producer, Phil Hendry Show, maybe I'd have Phil Hendry, and underneath it, Phil Hendry Show. Host, Phil Hendry Show. And nobody's still going to know who the hell it is I am, or who the hell I am it is, or one of them things. You got cards? Do you ever give them out? Who do you give them out to? What, at parties? Yeah, I produce the Phil Hendry Show. Stop it, okay? You're married now. Okay, you want to do lunch or something? Do dinner? What Mike does is he generally just leaves it on the water tank in any latrine he happens to be sitting in somebody's bathroom. He'll leave a card there in the basket where the magazines are. You put it in the bowl at restaurants for free lunches? That's a good idea. Hang it up in a laundromat? What are you telling me? Give me all those cards. And those bottles of wine that we had made, we sent them out to program directors, and it's just a marvelous job. And I want to just mention the name of the guy, Mike McCarron in San Diego, who did this great job. He made up these beautiful wine bottles with the Phil Hendry Show logo on it. And we sent these out to program directors and friends in the business and, just to say thank you. And then word got out that we had these. Then I had people calling me and asking for them. And I was like, no, you can't have one. They're for people that I like. And now it's, people are hanging around the office. Now if they ever find out where they are, they'll be stolen, I'm sure. But we gave them to, important people. Did you get one, Mike? Oh, you didn't? But anyway, So that was such a great job that guy did for us. His name is Mike McCarron. He's down. It's called Wine Design. And this cat, what he does, he takes the wine bottle and he etches a logo into it. It's really cool. And he has the Phil Hendry Show logo. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put those things up for sale. See, when we get the marketing arm of the show cranked up, when we get the Citizens Auxiliary Police hats, when we get the Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse gift certificates, when we get the R.C. Collins Donate a Kidney to Me Foundation certificates, and when we finally get all of these wonderful marketing ideas that we've got up and running on our website, which, by the way, is philhenryshow.com, I tell you what, look at this. Bull crap. Taylor's trying to get me to believe he sold his wine bottle on eBay. I'm going to be selling them wine bottles, though. Can we sell booze? I remember when I was down in Miami, we used to have all kinds of liquor-related events. Now I get out to L.A., no, you can't do that. What happened between Miami and Los Angeles, I don't get. When we were in Miami, we had a golf tournament that was sponsored by Miller Beer. We had Coors Light. We had Hooters on board. We had a great golf tournament down there. And every guy that entered the golf tournament got a case of beer. And when this at the high point of this tournament, you'd see golf carts careening across fairways with cases of beer falling off the back of the carts. That was beautiful. And we had Hurricane Reef involved, and we had Hooters was involved, and we had the Hooters girls were giving the beer out on the golf course. It was awesome. I get out to L.A. No, you can't do that. You can't do any of that. See, you get out here, you think you can have fun. The fun ends at the Arizona border. There's no fun here. You think I'm going to have a golf tournament out here and they're going to let me have Miller or Coors or anything like that be ever anywhere near something like that? No, because they got to play it by the book out here because everybody sues everybody out here. So some guy gets drunk and falls into a lake and gets eaten by an alligator on a golf course. I get sued. Nobody wants to have the liability, so we can't have anything like that. Florida, they don't care. They don't even know how to count votes. What do they care? 1, 2, I don't know. He won by 50. What do you want from me? Okay, we'll give it to Bush. Great. I like that. But out here, I came out and said, hey, how about we do a golf tournament and we'll have a spot? No, you can't have beer because if someone gets drunk and falls off a building and they kill themselves, what, maybe it was their fault? Oh, no, it's yours. Oh, okay. So we will have our pool tournament. We're going to get that one going, too. I got to get Andre on that one. Hey, Andre, if I buy you one more lunch, give you one more bottle of wine, I'm just kidding. Anyway, our pool tournament will be coming up this spring. It's something that she didn't know she has to promote, but I'm letting you know now. Our pool tournament, we're also going to have a one-man show coming up. And, of course, we do have, again, our Rose Parade coverage available on our website and the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD. So I'm trying to kind of scratch a few dollars together so that I can get that beach house. And whatever you can do for us, we appreciate it. 1-800-449, because this is really, remember, when it comes to buying stuff from the Phil Henry Show, it's not about you, it's about me. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. 2001 is the year, and our thanks to everybody for making the last year a great success for this radio show. We appreciate it. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And by the way, the wine is not available for sale. We had people calling and saying, can I get one of those Phil Henry wine balls or something? I'm like, no, this is just to our friends. Just because if we start giving this stuff out, next thing you know, I'll get sued again. And I just got over the hump on these last two, so just back off. Now, speaking of booze, what were you saying about that 200 proof? There's some kind of hooch, man. You know, what is this stuff, 200, 190 proof? Was that the whiskey that you had? I was in China once, and I had this national drink. I was in the country of China. Their national drink is called Ma Tai. Not Mai Tai, Ma Tai. It comes in a blue heart-shaped bottle, and it's about 150 proof. And you drink it, and it's like drinking perfume. You might as well be drinking perfume. You might as well be bellying up to the bar with Kitty Dukakis and have yourself just a blast of hairspray and, you know, kick in and settle in for the night. And it was just wild. You know, you take a shot of this, and then you drink some beer, just kind of chase it with a beer. And then I found out, I didn't know what 150 proof meant. 200 proof is 100% alcohol. So what that basically is what, 75, 80, 90% alcohol. Well, why not just go ahead and drink, you know, lighter fluid? Hey, we have a really great drink here. It's our national drink. Oh, your national drink is lighter fluid. Well, no, it's our. This is a wonderful thing. It's made out of rice and some potatoes and all bull crap. It's 150 proof. It's made out of lighter fluid. The Chinese national drink, 3-in-1 oil. God. So, as much as I got, you see, that's why I'm basically a beer drinker. Who needs it? We all need it, but who wants to suffer through that? So one time I brought this Mai Tai over to a friend's house. We're playing cards. I brought it over. I'd just gotten back from China. Hey, I said, I'll bring over this rot gut. You guys aren't going to believe this stuff. Yeah, okay, these guys are taking shots of this. He calls me the next day. He says, come on over here. You got to see this. I go over to the guy. Just put in new hardwood floors. Well, some of this Mai Tai had fallen on the floor. It took the sealer and the lacquer and the paint right off this guy's new hardwood floors. Booze. Now, if that's doing that to wood, I ask you, what's it doing to your stomach? Feels good going down. Feels just as good coming back up. Man. Anyway, getting back to L.A., as long as we're talking about liquor and having a blast, getting back to how you can't have fun in L.A., I don't mean to put down, this is my hometown, I grew up here, I grew up around it. When everybody says that they grew up in L.A., it generally means they come from somewhere within 100 miles. I'm from like 13 miles outside of Los Angeles, a little town called Arcadia. Love the town, love the people, but it's, you know, you can't have any laughs out here. Just let me just, if I could just take the, let's just take the blinders off and let's take the rose-colored glasses. You can't have any laughs in L.A. And you're asking me, well, what do you mean by laughs, Phil? I mean by Vegas, Miami, New York, those kind of laughs. It ain't had out here. Because for some reason, you know, when all the last kicks that were had in L.A. was the 19th century. That's when guys were still gunning each other down in saloons around here. That's when things were fun. Some guy in a sombrero, another guy in a straw hat. One guy can speak German. The other guy, who knows what the hell he is. They're shooting each other up. It's great. All kinds of blood running in the gutters around here. That's the last time anybody had any real laughs in L.A. And then after that, the movies came, and then everybody started getting their feelings hurt, and everyone started getting sued, and Charlie Chaplin couldn't have himself a couple of kicks with a 14-year-old without somebody getting bent out of shape. And the next thing you know, forget it. So now everybody sues everybody. You can't have a party because the noise is too loud. You can't go on a beach and have a beer. When I went down to the Malibu courthouse to pay the ticket for that beer, and the guy says, how many people are here for drinking on the beach? And three-quarters of the people raised their hands. And I realized that's how the city of Malibu is really getting on, man. They're busting everybody and ticketing them for having a beer on a beach. Hey, you know, we're really, we need to put that sewer system in, man. Let's bust a few more people on the beach for drinking a beer. We got to repave the road. Let's get a few more people on the beach for drinking a beer. If they weren't popping people for drinking on the beach down there, there wouldn't be anybody in that courthouse on Monday morning. The freaking bailiff would be asleep taking a nap. This is a great town because the weather's beautiful, because there's a couple of kicks to be had when it comes to going out to movies or going into, you know, Old Town or 3rd Street Promenade or down on Melrose or wherever it is that they're doing their urban renewal. And the next thing you know, Hollywood Boulevard is going to do the same thing. But you don't really think you can have any real laughs here outside of the living room of your own house, do you? Am I wrong or am I right, Taylor? You're from here and you can't stand it. Hey, did you ever? Nah, it's not that you can't stand it, but you realize that it's like Big Brother's watching. Do you realize what I'm saying, that the Tinseltown ain't all the big laughs that everybody thinks it is? It's just, it's something that everybody who lives here has known for years. We've known it for years and years and years. We don't speak about it much. It's kind of like being the prisoner on a TV show, right? It's kind of like living in 1984. You know, you drudge off to your job, you go home, you shave with the same razor that you've had for 30 years. You don't talk about it. You eat the tofu in your soup. You know, you sit down to miso soup and you go, yeah, it's really good. You go to a sushi bar, you order up the eel, you order up the sea urchin, and you go, it's, oh boy. My wife, let's go get sushi. You told me that you like sushi. Yeah, you know, no, I do. It's really, it's good. Come on, let's go. It'll be fun. And you go over there, and you go, what'll it be today, Mr. Henry? I'll have this morning. What? I'll have the smelt eggs. Let's go get another non-fat decaf, too. Okay, that's really kicks. Now we're rolling. And I go in there, and but you know, you go in and you have the sushi, and you go, you know, and then you do what you did when you were 10, when your wife isn't looking, you put the napkin up to your mouth and spit it out into the napkin and go, you know, I suddenly have to go to the bathroom again. That's the third time in 5 minutes. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, I think I'm diabetic. And you go and you flush it. You don't like sushi in this town, people think you're queer. No, I'm sorry. If you do like sushi in this town, people think you're queer. Well, you know what I'm saying. If you don't like sushi in this town, they think they want to remand you into the Delamo Psychiatric Center for, like, 72-hour observation. You like sushi? I love sushi. Well, we have a really great place. See, it's okay with me. I like it. I'll eat it. Maria loves it. I'll go with her. We have our favorite spot. If you got to eat sushi, you got to eat it over at the Landing where we eat out in Westlake, because those guys do it up. But, you know, come on. Smelt eggs? Sea urchin? I go in and eat the same bloody thing. I eat spicy tuna. Spicy tuna is the bomb. And you get the spicy tuna hand roll, or I get the 9/11, which is nice. It's got the avocado and a little bit of that spicy tuna in there. And if I'm really feeling, you know, bold, maybe I'll get the rock and roll. It's got a little bit of shrimp on it. But you're not. Get out of here with the smelt egg thing. There's no way I'm going to get sea urchin down. Sea urchin? Ain't that the thing with the spine on it? All those things? Yeah, let me have the sea urchin. Because I really want to get that good, that fresh, farm-grown flavor of sea urchin. And how about the squid? You know, you cats in Japan, it must have been bad after we dropped those bombs, man. You got to eat that stuff for, what, 40 years? I am so sorry that we ever even thought about the atomic bomb if it forced you into eating squid. And I don't mean like calamari, like the way the Italians do it. I mean the squid. It's the whole squid. It comes and they put it on a cracker and they give it to you. Go ahead, eat that. Eat that, Yank. Because if that's what we did by dropping those two A-bombs, I am so, so bitterly sorry that we ever did that. I would much rather be having some good corn-fed Jap steak than having to eat sea urchin, squid, smelt egg, and whale dung on a cracker because we went ahead and got the hard-on for Hiroshima in 1945. You got to be putting me on. Phil Henry Show. We won't be right back. Thanks. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And as usual, if we get any good calls, we'll put them on the air. And we have a little bit of radio gossip for you. And this concerns some people who are near and dear to me. Guys out here in L.A. at KFI Radio and some other Clear Channel stations, Art Bell, it is rumored, will be returning to the airwaves. Art of the Coast to Coast AM show, he of the show that we have so often satirized, he of the, you know, if you're east of the Rockies, you can pound it, west of the Rockies, don't show up, whatever the hell that guy says, that's the cat, that outer space cat who is a, he's a nice man. I've spoken to Art, and apparently he has on occasion listened to our show there in his bunker complex, and so I feel real good about a guy listening to me with a shotgun in his lap buried underground about 50 feet. It's great. Now, he's a nice guy. And anyway, he's supposed to be coming back to KFI in Los Angeles, among other stations. Now, that's the rumor. We don't know if it's as of yet been verified. It probably hasn't, but that's the rumor. And that's sweet. Okay, so anyway, as I was saying, man, I can't eat that swill. So you can keep that stuff off my plate, Ma. And, of course, the stuff I ate when I was a kid, like pork and beans, I love that crap. I got cans and cans of pork and beans at my house, okay? It's a little piece of raw, whatever the crap. Is that that pork fat? I love that because I ate that stuff as a kid. Now, the kids look at me and they go, what is this? You know, they go in like for their after-school snack. Maria's got, I don't know, about 178,000 cans of ravioli. There's certain kid food you got to have. One of it is the can of ravioli that you can open up and eat cold. And Craig's nodding right now. Never mind that he's 25. You eat that still? Beans and wieners, yeah. So we got this stuff at home. We got the ravioli, and the kids come in, and you can hear them just like, I don't know, like small steer coming through the door and just... And they're rooting around looking for their ravioli in a can, and they open it up, and you can hear it slopping into a bowl. It doesn't spill into a bowl. It doesn't slide into a bowl. It comes out of the can almost like, well, you know what I mean when I say... You know, what? It, yeah, okay, that. Yeah, it's all congealed together into the shape of a can. It's just, it's that ravioli just... And it comes out like you know, like chili. You ever have that Denison's chili? I don't. No, I'm kidding. Only in my house, it's Denison's turkey chili. Yeah, that's, boy, that's sexy. Anyway, that stuff comes out shaped like a can, just... And it pops right into the bowl, and it just wiggles there in a gelatinous manner for a few seconds. And you're like, holy God. I eat that, and I eat that pork and beans with that little piece of pork fat to the kids. But I won't eat sushi? What's wrong with me? There was a story in the paper that I wanted to relate to a... anyway, that's my problem with L.A., but otherwise I really love this town. And it's my hometown, and you know, you knock it, and you're in trouble with me. It's a great place. It's a great place. It just ain't that much fun. It's not as... Let me take it back. It's a great place. It's kicks. It ain't as much kicks as people say it is. They roll the sidewalks up around here at 9 o'clock. Am I right or am I wrong? You just know where to go after 9 o'clock at night. Everybody knows that. It's been the same way for years. The problem is this town was founded by Midwestern farmers. L.A., outside of Hollywood, was founded by a bunch of guys coming out here. Henry Fonda, the Grapes of Wrath thing, Ma in a rocking chair in the back of the thing, and she got out, she put up her preserve, she put on her Mother Goose shoes, and she refused to leave, and that's what you got. No laughs out here. There ain't an open bar around here after 10 o'clock at night within 2 miles of this studio where I am right now. Every town around here is named after some guy that's 118 years old and helped discover boll weevils or something. Am I right or wrong? Van Nuys. Wasn't that the guy who, like, didn't he turn boll weevils into an edible thing?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I can't eat nothing but the boll weevil pretty good.
Okay, thanks. Pa Van Nuys. Al Van Nuys. And that's how, you know, Hollywood is named after some guy that put up apricot preserves for the, for, you know, he was the, you know, the first time that Smuckers came to town. It could have just been called, instead of Hollywood, Smuckers, California, but they decided Hollywood's a little hipper because there was a whole housing project or something. And Los Angeles is named after some poor schmuck that invented, like, hedge trimmers. Bud Los Angeles, he's just, this is what I'm saying, look at that shit. See that? It looks like Mickey Mouse, and I can do one that looks like an elephant, too. That's great! The leaf blower inventor got the city named after him, writes Mike, but he won't tell me the name of the city or anything. Why do I continue to read your crap when you won't give me any information? You should have said L.A. was named after the guy that invented the leaf blower. But I sit here and I wait for the punchline. In any event, that's what it is, and that's the way it's always been, and okay, I'm off of that, man. So a lady from a prominent family has willed $21 million to three institutions that never had any contact with her. Florence Forderer, who died November 12, 1999 at the age of 73, gave $7 million each to the Philadelphia Zoo, the Academy of Natural Sciences in Philadelphia, and to a local university called the Gallaudet University, a school for the deaf, which is actually in Washington, D.C. The zoo's gift is the largest in its history. Basically, this old lady kicked off and gave all of her bread to a whole bunch of places that knew nothing of her existence. She was the heiress to a fortune made by her grandfather, a Philadelphia industrialist. No one involved knows exactly why she left behind the gifts. Family members said she was devoted to animals, loved children, and vehemently opposed discrimination against the handicapped. Of course, the question to ask here is why she didn't leave the money to her family members. And another question to ask is, how do they feel about it today? Hey, your grandmother had $73 million. She gave it all to a zoo. How do you feel? I mean, how do you keep that smile on your face, man? How many cans of spackle does it take to keep your cheeks up as you grin your way through another press conference? Well, she was really a nice person. $21 million to the local zoo there, Al. You were her son, weren't you?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's really great. Did you see any of that money?
No, that's okay.
Meanwhile, the story, grave robbing. 3 days later, they find her body, burned on a pyre out in the desert. One of the fingers taken off. Actually, they find her body with the wedding band has been removed. whatever they buried her in.
No, I'm okay with that.
Hey, and another thing, she gave $6 million to the Cat Society. How do you feel about that?
Real good.
Oh, yeah? Come on, it's got to bug you.
No, I'm fine.
See, I know a little bit about this, and I'll tell you why. My Aunt Alice, God rest her soul, I don't even know if she was really my aunt. With my family, they call them aunts and cousins, and they could be sisters and wives. I have no idea. My family, first of all, both my parents were illegitimate. And I say that with all due respect, but they were. I think my mom was too. See, she never knew her father. He ran off before she was born. He might have married her mother, but the point is the bum ran off, so she never met him. And my old man was left on a doorstep. He was in a basket on a doorstep, literally. So I have no idea the bloodline of the Henry family. I think there's a little Ubangi, but mostly Irish. By the way, my father was Moses. And he floated down a river, and they don't know who, So, he has this aunt, and she was a great gal, and I think he knew who his mother was. She was some lady that he was taken to visit in Albany, New York. It's a bunch of bull crap, and it's boring, and I won't go into the details, but he did know one blood relative, his mother, who he was raised to believe was a friend of his stepmother's, which in point of fact was his real mother, and his stepmother was his stepmother, and this Alice woman, who was a cousin in New York. In Albany, New York. And so my father was taken to visit this Alice and came to really like her, and she was a cousin. And when he moved the family to California in the late 40s, Alice came out here too, and she started working. Well, it turns out she was loaded, and I mean loaded. And I really like this lady. I didn't know anything about the money that she had, but she thought we were cute kids, and she always brought around suckers and all kinds of crap. Now come to find out I get a little bit older, and I'm in high school. And it turns out, Alice has all that land. I said, what land? She's got land in Arizona. She's got a bundle of cash, and she's got property in Hawaii. She did something very smart. When the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor and everybody was selling, she bought all that land. So she made all this bread on all this land in Hawaii after the war. So now she croaks. I say that with all due respect, but, she got to the point. I was 13, and she was asking me, will you drive me to the store? I'm 12. How about a cigarette? She was offering me a drink, and I was 11. I mean, her mind was going. She said, let's go visit Aunt Alice. I go, yeah, man, and you're not having any brandy. Well, she offered it. I don't care. Hi, Aunt Alice. Hi, how about a whiskey? Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed. So anyway, she dies, and the will now comes into the fore, however these things are done, and my old man is slapping his hands together and smacking his lips. Yeah, baby. My ship has come in, just ahead of my pier collapsing. And he's waiting. And guess what happens? I mean, I'm telling you, I laughed. When I heard the story, I laughed until I cried. Almost a maniacal, hysterical laugh. I wasn't expecting any money, and in point of fact, I did get some dough. I got about 5 G's out of this deal. This is back in the early 70s. 5 G's bought me a car. And my mom got a nice chunk, and my sisters and my brother got a nice chunk. The one bum that got written out of the will was my old man, because he had divorced my mother, which PO'd Aunt Alice so much, she said, you're out. Guess what she did with the bulk of her dough? And I'm talking about $5 million. She gave it to the Catholic Church. My old man almost freaking jumped out of a building. He almost slit his wrists and then jumped out of a building. In point of fact, he almost jumped out of a building and then slit his wrists. How do you like that? She gave all of her dough to the one organization that doesn't need it at all, the Catholic freaking Church in L.A. It's got more money than God. And they got another $5 million from this old lady that kicks in North Hollywood someplace. And my old man sitting there going, how did this happen? So he tried to challenge it in court. Forget it, pal. It's ironclad. So that was the last big... I mean, that's the story of my father's life, right there. Here's a cat waiting for, you know, he's waiting for the Irish sweepstakes, baby. It never hit, man. Craig's next door, his parents' next door neighbors, what, they left their entire estate to the state of California, $500,000? Why? Because they figure the state was so groovy? You know, this has been a great state. Let's leave our money to the governor. Okay. I guess. It's really, when you think about who you could leave it to, it ain't really a bad thing to leave it to. But my aunt leaving like $5 million to the Catholic Archdiocese of Los Angeles, I mean, you want to pee your pants. It was so funny. And there's my old man who's waiting for his big moment, and he didn't get nickel one. He had no idea that she hated his guts as much as she did because he pulled that stunt. So... you know, let that be a lesson. I don't know what it is, but it's a lesson. So, don't wait for the money to come to you. You got to go to the money. Rob a bank. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. I was talking about my family got so depressed, now I want to leave. We're playing tape the rest of the day. Thanks a lot, Melissa, for questioning me about my parentage and whether my father was legitimate or not, because then they came in here during the commercial break. They're going, so in other words, this Agnes was really your cousin, and your father, you don't know who his father was? He was illegitimate? Oh, my God! And I told him, I said, well, what happened in my family, if you want to know the story, which I'm sure you probably don't, but you're going to sit and listen to it anyway because I feel like talking about it. In my family, my old man, his mother on her deathbed, my father's name was Herbert. They called him Herbie. And on his mother's deathbed, his mother looks at him and says, don't worry, Herbie, Jesus was a Jew. Now, I ain't making this up, you guys. This is going on in Toronto, Canada, in 1946 or some bullcrap. So what does that mean, Jesus was a Jew? Well, the word filtered down that my father, who, again, was illegitimate, you know, didn't know who his father was a Jewish businessman. And when I told Melissa that story, Melissa Morgan, my co-producer, she says, I always thought you were a Jew. And I said, thank you. And then I asked her, do you think people will still listen to me if they think I'm Jewish? And she said, no, so don't say it. So that's why I don't really want to bring it up. I'm kidding. Of course she didn't say that. Well, she didn't say all of it. But anyway, that's why I'm very conflicted. I could be Jewish. I'm Catholic. I'm Buddhist. I don't know what the hell I am. I do know that I'm a little bit richer after that paper listen. Yes, the paper listen on the Phil Hendry Show webcast. Sign up for it today. It's on demand, philhendrie.com. And you can get the webcast of our Rose Parade coverage. And let me tell you what, it was something else, baby. That's PHILHENDRIE show.com and order our Tournament of Roses webcast for only $4.95. And thank you again for ordering the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD, 877-616-7445. And we've made $82,821.50. Mike, you do know who your parents are because I met them. What a crazy thing for me to ask. I think I met who your parents were. I'm not saying I don't know who my parents are. I just don't know who their parents were. There's all kinds of stuff going on in my family that you don't even want to know about. Then there was that old lady that came and visited when I was five. That turned out to be my dad's real mom. He was raised to think it was somebody else. She shows up when I'm five. I'm getting off the bus from kindergarten. I went to Camino Grove School over in Arcadia with Miss Ellen, who was 21, and I remember laying on the floor trying to look up her dress from my nap mat. I swear to God, I'm five, and I'm laying on the nap mat, and Miss Ellen, who is a 21-year-old kindergarten teacher, and in those days, they wore those poodle skirts, Melissa, you know, the big wide skirts? And there I am, just sort of craning my head as she walked by. What was wrong with me? I don't know. But I get off the bus, and here's this old lady, Agnes, and I said to my father, who is this woman? He says, well, you know, it's just a nice lady, you know, meeting me at the... Oh, she's just a person. Well, she's a really nice lady. Yeah, she's a fine old lady. Well, then years later, I finally get to be old enough. I ask you, who was that Agnes? He says, that was my mother. I said, well, what happened to her? He says, I told her to get lost because she stuck him in a basket and left him on a doorstep. And by basket on a doorstep, what I mean is some doctor, in those days, if you were illegitimate, the doctors would just put you up for adoption. So that's what happened. What do you want from me? And that story that I just told you, I offer up with every business card that I give to people. Hi, I'm Phil Henry. My father was left in a basket on a doorstep, and I'm a talk show host. Thank you. So that's why my family's warped, and but, you know, no more dysfunctional than anybody else's, especially after I went to Mike Schaefer's wedding. Now, I'm kidding around. What if that girl's okay that passed out in your wedding party? Mike and Gretchen got married. It was a very nice affair down in Malibu, and this was about, you know, a year and a half ago, and they were all standing up there getting... Were you at the wedding, Craig? Well, they were getting up, they're getting married, you know, and Mike and Gretchen, the preacher's there. And
Mike, Gretchen, this is a wonderful day. God has brought you together, and so it shall be.
And she's taking little nips of,
hold on for a minute, just unscrewing a flask. And another thing,
so this is going on. Well, the wedding party is the five clowns and the five bridesmaids. One of them just all of a sudden, I'm looking down at my shoe, or I don't know what I was doing. There was some gum on my shoe. I hear this, oh, my God. And I look up, and one of the women has fainted. Remember that, Mike? She's collapsed in a heap. And this poor, that wasn't the worst part. The worst part for this poor girl, she dropped like a rock because she'd locked her knees up. It'd been a long day. I won't say they'd been drinking champagne since 8 a.m. It was just a long day. But the worst part is when they carried her out, it was like she was Dr. Livingston and the natives were going to put her in a pot. They were carrying her out over their heads like she was freaking crowd surfing. This poor girl is collapsed, and they're passing her from person to person overhead. You didn't see it, man. See, he thinks I'm full of crap. I swear to God, they were passing this girl along the top of the crowd. She was pew diving, man. I swear it. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show.